Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 24. Pray and hopefully the Lord will bless here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your book. We thank you for the preachers and the men of renown that have come through our church. Lord, we thank you for the teaching that you've given us through your word here. And I just pray, Lord, Father, that you meet with us. I pray, Lord, Father, that you would calm distractions. I pray, Lord, Father, that you forgive us where we fail you, especially me. For whatever reason, you felt led to tell Pastor to ask me to fill this morning. Help me to get thoughts crossed clearly. And, Lord, so I can speak. And so help me to control emotion, Lord. I just love you and I just praise you now. And do a work here in our lives. And for those that do not know you as Savior, I pray to make it very clear today that they do need you and that you're right there. For you to extend your arm is already there. They just need to grab you and just pray that they accept you before it's too late. Thank you so much for our church and all you do here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to try to get this one out. I was talking to Brother Scalise this morning. It ties right in with where we're going. I pray for the Scalises. Be thankful you got running water that doesn't freeze, okay? They've been battling that for, man, I don't know. It's been a long time. It's been a cold winter. So just pray for them and the ongoing battle they have. And you'll see. So I'm going to follow that up with Brother Scalise. What will it take for you to quit? That's the title of my message this morning. And that's for all of us. What will it take for you and I to quit? What will it take? All right. Again, I'm going to get probably emotional. I'm trying. Boy, Lord, help me. Anyway. This is a very unique message. I have no idea how long it's going to take, so just pray. Ezekiel 24, verse 15. Let's read there. I think I have more scripture than I can share in the time allowed. But anyway, Ezekiel 24, verse 15 says this. It says, the man of God, the word of the Lord comes to him and says, also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, behold, I take away. Again, this is God talking to him. Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, just like God told them. And at even, my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. What will it take for you to quit? Here's a man right here. He's preaching, doing the will of God. He's sharing the word, the burden of the Lord. His wife listens to him, no doubt, that morning. And by evening, she's dead. And then the next morning, he's preaching again. God told him, I got a job for you. That's a very traumatic event to lose a spouse like that. You've heard the saying, God will not give you more than you can handle, right? Here's a new twist on it that I just learned from a coworker. he's a Christian co-worker. He said, and I ran this by pastor too to get his take on it. My friend told me this. He said, you know, I think God can and does give you more than you can handle, so you'll look up. His intent is not to destroy you, though. His intent is for you to trust Him completely. Trust in His strength, not yours. Trust in His wisdom, not yours. And so I want you to think about, what will it take for you to quit? We're going to look at, Lord willing, we're going to look at what I would call maybe some positive of examples of how knowing when to quit helped. Maybe it'll help. Knowing when to quit might help you stop a sin, stop a behavior that's hurting you. And then we're going to look at some negative examples of maybe if you don't know when to quit, how that hurts you. It can lead to more loss, more pain in your life. The following events and ideas that I came up with, here's some things, some everyday events that happen to every day in our lives to common people just like you and I. Saved, unsaved, the Lord says it rains on the just and the unjust. That's Matthew 5:45. Things like this happen every day to people. Untimely death of the spouse, like Ezekiel. Maybe an untimely death of a parent, child, or friend. Maybe this happens to a lot of people. Maybe you didn't get the life you dreamed of. Maybe you get notified of a crippling disease. It's chronic. It ain't going away. It's going to be debilitating. Maybe a car accident occurs, Casey, 8 years ago. Maybe a loss of a job. Can y'all hear me okay? I just hit that mic. Maybe a loss of job. Maybe your friends forsake you. Maybe you're getting too close to God and they don't like it. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But I ask you, what will it take for you to quit? So we're going to look at some Bible examples. Let's look at some of the negative. Let's look at some of the examples that we can pull from Scripture that, boy, it just got worse for them. Because maybe they didn't know when to quit. You know, wrong focus, a sinful behavior, it can lead you to promote yourself right out of a right relationship with your family, with God, with everyone. So think about that. Sometimes you need to know when to quit. Turn over to Esther. We're going to look at a man here. Esther chapter 3. We're going to look at a man that he didn't know when to quit. And he should have. If I can ever get there. Esther chapter 3. I'm going to read here the first six verses. It says here, after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. He's number two man. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said to Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Azarus, even the people of Mordecai. We don't have enough time. I could read you the whole account here. But for those that do have some familiar with the story, I'll paraphrase now. This man Haman, the whole nation and people around are bowing to him. Okay? They all are. We're talking thousands, maybe millions of people. Everywhere this man goes, Haman, people are bowing to him, giving him reverence. Except one man. One. And this one man, Mordecai, got under his skin so bad. Why? Because Mordecai was some evil, wicked man? No. Because Haman allowed one man to get under his skin. So much so to the point, Haman desired in his heart to not only kill Mordecai, but all the Jews. I hate them all. And if you were to read your Bible, you'll read that that life mission, it became his mission to kill them all. His focus got so far off, he just zeroed in on one man. And you know what it did? Eventually it cost him his life. The gallows he had built for Mordecai, that he wanted to hang Mordecai on, Haman himself got hung on. His thirst for command and power and prestige destroyed him. That is an example of someone that we can learn from that it'd be good to know when to quit. You could lead to self-destruction like this man. Here's another example. Another negative example of we need to know when to quit. Again, I'm kind of twisting the title a little bit. Just think about quitting. Sometimes there's a time to quit, and sometimes quitting's bad. Anyway, here's another example. Turn over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to look at a man here. A servant, no doubt. Oh, probably way quicker, but I am a terrible sword searcher drill person. I'm slow. 2 Kings 5 here. Let's see, where do I want to begin? Let's start reading in verse 15. And I'll have to add some more story to it here, but just follow along. 2 Kings 5 verse 15 says, "And he returned to the man of God." This is Naaman here. "He and all his company came and stood before him, and he said, 'Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.'" Naaman wants to give a blessing. And this is Elisha. "But he said, 'As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none.'" He doesn't want the blessing. "And he urged him to take it, but he refused." Verse 17, "And Naaman said, 'Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto the other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing.' And he said unto them, 'Go in peace.' So he departed from him a little way." So he left, didn't do the blessing, right? But in verse 20, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth," what did he say? "I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now, and his master did not send him, by the way. Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon his two servants, upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. Now he's coming back to Elisha. Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, oh, thy servant went nowhither. Another lie. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yarns and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Verse 27. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence of a leper as white as snow. Greed cost Gehazi a lot. Self-inflicted disease. Self-inflicted disease. He said in his heart, I will go take. Oh, Elisha won't? Well, I will. Maybe a little pride in there. Again, knowing when to quit is good. Had he just listened to his master, this would have never happened. There's one example. We looked at Haman, looked at Elisha's servant Gehazi. How about your friends? You heard the saying, Amnon had a friend. Turn over to 2 Samuel 13. We're not too far off. Again, we're looking at things. What will it take for you to quit? Sometimes quitting is good. Sometimes knowing when to quit will help you. All right, 2 Samuel 13. I'll read just a few verses here. And it came to pass, verse 1, after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonabed, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonabed was a very subtle man. Many of you know the account that occurs. Let me remind you that the desire was already there. His friend put feet to the desire and gave him the idea to execute. Knowing when to quit is key in life. Sometimes you need to quit or else you self-destruct. Sinful behaviors, wrong focus can lead you to promoting yourself right out of a right relationship with God and your family. It'll so deceive you. It can lead to your own self-destruction. Those are just a few Bible examples. The Bible's full of them. No doubt you have real life examples that you can think of that you've experienced in your own life or friends or family. Learn from them. Learn from them. I'm going to transition to some positives. Some positive things that can be learned from when it's time to quit. Knowing when to quit. I'm going to look at some examples of some people that learned and they realized, I better stop. Or destruction's coming. Turn back to 2 Kings real quick. We're going to look at Naaman again. But we're going to look at him. Here's a positive twist. 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1. Again, I'm sorry I'm bouncing all over the place, but hopefully it's flowing and you can keep the thoughts. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." Now skip down to verse 9. Verse 8. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me," meaning Naaman, "and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Naaman comes to the man of God for help. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, meaning he was very angry, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Are not Abana and Pharaphah, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Verse 14, then went he down, he humbled himself, didn't he? And dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman almost didn't get healed. Because why? Life didn't go his way. How many times have we been there? "Well, that's not how I planned it. I think I'll just quit." Right? Life didn't present itself the way that you thought it would. You fill in the blank. How you respond to those truly can make or break you. Your attitude, everything. Future blessings. Naaman was going to miss healed from leprosy. Leprosy is not, you don't want leprosy. Permanent. There is no scraping them off. You're not getting over leprosy, okay? He almost missed complete healing of leprosy. Because of why? Because right here, his brain got the idea that some great thing had to happen in order to be healed. Boy, our minds like to perceive things and put things in there, don't it? Boy, if we let them go, boy, we can self-destruct, can't we? He almost missed it. But in this case, he humbled himself, listened to the man of God, did what the man of God said, and he was healed. Let that be a lesson to us. Life is not going to be how we want it to be always. You can trust this book. You can count your life on it. Let's look at another example. I don't know which order I want to go. I guess it doesn't matter. Let's look at King David. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. I don't know about you, but the characters that speak to me most, I love Joseph, don't get me wrong. Love Joseph to death. Would love to be Joseph. I am not Joseph. And I learn every day how much I'm not Joseph. But what I'm getting at, we should strive to be Joseph. We should strive to be Christ-like, right? But the characters that speak to me most are like David, Peter, right? Those that failed, right? Those are the ones that, yeah, I'm that guy. Yeah, I'm that guy. But let's learn from them, right? Let's learn from our, and these are real people. Never forget, as my father-in-law harps on this all the time, these are not stories. These are real people. Real events. This happened. Anyway, where did I tell you? 2 Samuel 11, right? You guys can probably, some of you all kids probably can quote the whole thing. I, again, am not that guy either. Anyway, 2 Samuel, you know the story. For those that have been in church for a while, if you haven't heard this story, listen along. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Ooh, this leads to trouble. And it came in the pass in the evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." Big trouble happened here. This sin of adultery here led to deceit, led to murder. Yes, King David. A godly man by all means. Murder, a horribly wrong relationship with his family. Boy, this thing just spirals right out of control, don't it? Eventually, he comes back to God. He repents of his sin. He's thankful God didn't kill him for his sin. He acknowledges it. He gets it as right as he can. But the consequences remain. The baby dies. We read the account of Amnon. Amnon is murdered by Absalom, and then Absalom dies. Boy, it just keeps spiraling out of control, don't it? Never forget. Learn. Yes, you can get back to God when you do wrongs, if he allows you to live. But never forget, consequences can remain. Sometimes God doesn't wash them away. Pastor Roach used to share about, say you're this girl. I think she was in a girl's home. She got drunk one night, passed out, laid across the railroad tracks. Train came by, cut her leg off. God's not going to grow her leg back just because she repents of her sin. Permanent reminder of sin. Sin can scar you, right? I'm not trying to make light of sin. I want you to learn from it. The fact that you're still breathing right now, as I mentioned, means God's not done with you. God did not kill David, even after all that sin, deceit, murder, adultery. God forgave it all. And you know what King David got to do after that? Sure, he couldn't do everything maybe that God wanted him to do, but he could still do something for God. He collected as much treasure and money and things that he could do to allow his son to build a temple for God. He still went out and did great things for God. Just because of failure doesn't mean you quit. You don't do that. David learned. I want you to see that. He learned from this. We all have failures in life. Learn from David and trust God that you can come back. And there's still life in you. You still got purpose. And then I already shared this one. So we looked at Naaman. We looked at David. Ezekiel. Brother Wright, Mrs. Wright falls down dead. Do I see you next church service? Will I? Will you quit? I don't know. I don't want you to experience that. But if the Lord has you experience that, think about that. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? His wife died. That's a traumatic event. What are you going to do? You know, sometimes we need to know when to quit. Sometimes quitting is good. Sometimes quitting is not good. Quitting on God, quitting on family, that's not good. What are some things we can do as I'm getting close to wrap this up here? I don't even know when I started, but I see we're getting close to the noon hour. I'll try to end close to that. What are some things we can do to prevent quitting on God? Asking for help is okay. There's nothing wrong asking for help. One thing you can do, you can ask for help. Pray. We always forget that, don't we? It's like, that's like the first thing to go is prayer. Off. Forget asking God, the Creator, who can do the impossible. It's like, we just brain dump that. I don't know why, it just happens that way. We have to keep reminding ourselves. That's why God puts preachers in front of us to keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. Because we be like sheep and we go astray. God is always there. Pray. Daniel, in the midst of captivity, would pray 3 times a day. He would let his petitions be known to God. Keep doing that. Trials come and you feel like quitting. Boy, give it to God. Sometimes that's the only thing you can do. God gives us a man that sits right here, you know, every Sunday. And he looks like sometimes he's not happy. But that's Pastor McGovern. And he's like this. The man has so much to preach to us. He's picking and choosing, okay, what he wants to share. It's insane. The man's a preaching machine. Anyway, he can help you. Don't forget that. He's there for you. Tell him what you're dealing with, you know. Share with him. I'm having a bad day, Pastor. I need help. That's what he's there for. A good friend. What verse goes with this? Proverbs 11:14. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety, right? I kind of butchered that, but you know what I'm getting at. Seek counsel. Say, you know, I'm not Superman. I ain't. I try to be and I hurt myself many times. Whether it's physically lifting something or dealing with something emotionally, whatever. Come apart before you come apart. Mark 6:31. And sometimes, here's a big one that I think we forget too. Sometimes you just got to allow time to do its work. I can't fix this thing. I can't change this thing. Sometimes only time will do it. I can get into several verses in Ecclesiastes, but to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose. Sometimes it's just, you just wait. Sometimes, here's a good verse, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Quit you like men. Sometimes we gotta buck up, right? Sometimes we gotta be strong. Joshua 1:9. Sometimes we need reminded of John 21:22. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Right? I am not supposed to live Brother Wright's life, and Brother Wright's not supposed to live my life. I have certain things I'm supposed to do. Brother Wright has things he's supposed to do. I'm responsible for what God gives me. Whatever that is. Whatever that is. So in conclusion, what will it take for you to quit? Could be the positive or the negative. Maybe you need to quit a sinful habit, a behavior, whatever it is. Maybe you're struggling with it. Maybe it's an addiction. I don't know what that thing is. Get help. Maybe the next step is finding someone to help you in that battle. Maybe you're thinking about quitting. Quitting on God. Quitting on your marriage. Quitting on your family. Quitting on your ministry. Because life is hard. It is. Things happen every day in our lives that just break us sometimes. What will it take for you to quit running from God, maybe, and get saved? I don't know. I do know this. The Bible still says, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's all Him. That's what life is about. It's about Jesus Christ. God puts stuff in your life. I'm a believer of what my coworker said. Let me see if I can quote that again. What did he say? He said, he thinks God will give you more than you can handle, so you'll look up. Right? So you'll look up. I don't know what the Lord's dealing with you on. I don't know what your struggles are. But don't quit. God doesn't want you to quit. If it's quitting on God. Now, if you had a sinful behavior, oh yeah, He wants you to quit that. And He will help you if you ask for it. Brother Jordan, that's all I got. Would you close?